On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul, in weakness raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
of
God.
Never stand.
There'll be no more sorrow.
No more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness of my
Savior.
Ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free. From every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new
life.
Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Yes,
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
of God,
never stand. Sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
What a hallelujah morning, when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
grace, all bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With a redeemed of God to stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. This is your host, Bruce Kessler, and I'm so thankful to be a part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ. For you see, in him I have peace, joy, and happiness, and I am blessed beyond measure more than I ever deserve. My goal here is very simple, and that is to encourage you, friend, along the way to help you find your passion and life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, what is so important about the church? But first, headline news. Get this. It was midnight on April 25th when passerby Colin Dozier spotted Jacob Palmer leaning over the side of Lesnar Bridge and immediately felt God leading him to stop and help out. Dozier said, "I just got called. That's the only explanation I can explain. God called me to go to the bridge." After Dozier alerted the police and began to try and engage Palmer, who was a drug addict, who was high on cocaine, meth, and heroin at the time, began to act erratically and even threatening to kill both Dozier and the responding police officers. In a flash, Dozier just knew what he needed to do next, and he quoted Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And then in a flash, Dozier tackled Palmer and dragged him back from the ledge. "I knew I had only one chance to do it and do it right." But saving this desperate man's life was not enough for this faith-filled hero. Realizing that Palmer needed Jesus more than ever, he organized some 110 men from the Trinity Church in Virginia Beach to pray for this troubled man. Incredibly, Jacob went on to accept Christ and has been baptized. And now, folks, he is completely sober. Far from seeing himself as a bona fide hero, Dozier simply felt that God tasked him with a specific mission on that day to save a life of a despairing man. Out of all the people, God put me there at the right time and right place. There you go, folks. Man stopped from jumping off bridge, turns his life around, and is baptized. Folks, God uses you too. One day you may come across someone who desperately needs Jesus Christ. Well, get this, folks, get this. Parents who object to their daughter's abortion would be required to pay for it and could be held liable under a pro-choice bill that would be passed by the Illinois House Wednesday. The bill, HB 25, liberalizes the state's abortion laws and declares abortion a fundamental right. But the bill repeals language that explicitly protected parents from being forced to pay for their daughter's abortion if they didn't give consent. The law now takes that out. It deletes that particular section and puts the responsibility back on the parents. Bourne, who is a Republican representative, asked the bill's sponsor why the language was removed. And the only response that was given was treating abortion care like other care. There you go, folks. Troubling indeed. Illinois to force pro-life parents to pay for daughter's abortion. Incredible, folks. Incredible what's going on in this world about abortion as I speak. Well, get this. Five sworn gang enemies have risked their lives to get baptized together at a Texas prison. Folks, this is an incredible story. Members of rival factions housed in Cofield Prison made public declarations of faith just 6 months after Dallas Megachurch Gateway opened a campus within the walls of the penitentiary. Yesterday at our Cofield campus, we were able to do something that no church has been able to do in the history of prison. And that is, get this, water baptized men from what's called administrative segregation, a section of the prison that has the most violent felons, violent inmates of the whole prison. Wow, folks, just get that. Those men were escorted into the gymnasium, each one shackled hand and foot and around the waist, escorted by a guard that would not remove their hands from their arm until they were placed, picked up, and put shackled in the water baptism tank. These men were all active gang members, and not only were they making the decision to be baptized and commit their lives to Christ, they knew that what this decision meant to some of them, certain death. They walked out past men who, when they were walking back, soaking wet, dripping with water because of the decision, were going to mark them for death. Folks, just think of how mind-blowing that is. Five sworn gang enemies baptized together in Texas, maximum security prison. Folks, amen, glory, hallelujah. God can save anyone, no matter how bad of life that they've ever lived. Jesus can indeed save. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our headline news for this broadcast. And now, this day in church history. In 793, on this day, Viking raiders devastate the Christian community in Lindisfarne Island off the coast of England by looting and slaughter. In 1794, French revolutionaries in Paris, having rejected Christianity and the Catholic Church, celebrate the first feast of the Supreme Being at Notre Dame, with an actress playing the part of the goddess of reason. Finally, on this day, in 1819, Dr. John Scudder and his associates Spalding, Winslow, and Woodward, with their wives, sailed from Boston on the brig Indies, bound for Calcutta as missionaries. Scudder will be especially influential because he is a medical doctor and surgeon. His daughter Ida will in due course also become a notable medical missionary. And that's this day in church history. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I am the event that was celebrated during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What event am I? I am the event that was celebrated during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What event am I? We will reveal the answer following our study segment. So stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our final segment of Name That Bible Character. And now we have our study for this morning. What is so important about the church? Paul was offering a prayer to the Ephesians, and he was talking about the great might which he worked in Jesus Christ in verse 20 of Ephesians 1, that he worked in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, folks, what is it about the church? As Jesus is giving all authority, Jesus is the head over the church, his body. What is that? What is so important about this church? You know, a lot of people worry all the time, well, the church is this, the church is that, the church is for believers. I've got great doubts. The church is for families. I'm from a broken home. The church is for good people, and I really won't fit in. The church is for respectable people, and I'm just all messed up. The church is for married folks, and I'm just single. The church on and on and on and on. But what is it about the church? The church isn't a building. Church is his body. And what is his body? His body is those who are being saved, folks. It is those who are being saved. It's human beings. Acts 2, verse 47. And he added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Glory. It's a soul, a precious soul. And there's meaning and purpose. There's a reason and rationale for why there is a church, a collection of believers who are coming together. You know, Dad used to have his workshop. And before he passed away, I went out there quite often when we visited and saw all of his tools in there and everything that was needed in order to build things, in order to create things, in order to get things working again. And that's what church is. The church is his workshop. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this: "For we are his workmanship, folks, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There you go, folks. If we are his workmanship, then he must have a workshop. And that's the church, the place where he measures and molds and makes us into his masterpiece because of his wondrous grace. If you remember, he took that murderer, Saul, and made him a great preacher, Paul. He took that madman, that crazy, demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, and turned him and restored him to a normal life. He took that wishy-washy Simon and made him to a rock called Peter. And he could do the same for you. And he does so in the church, folks. You remember in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's a simple phrase. But it's a place, the church is, where God wants you to succeed and not fail, to go to heaven and not go to hell. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You see, the church welcomes sinners because God welcomes them, because Christ loves them, because Christ forgave them. The church offers God's forgiveness because its members have received forgiveness. The church gives us a second chance at becoming the person God always intended for us to be. It's that place. It's a wonderful place to be. That's why it's so important, the church is. Think about when Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You see, in the church, that's where Christ welcomes you. That's the place where Jesus is your friend. That's the place where Jesus meets his friends, those that he loves, those who obey him. Well, a lot of times in our worship service, before we get started, we have greeters outside, and they greet people, and they say hello. They say they may give people hugs and all like that. But Christ's welcome is better because, you see, it's salvation that he gives. It's reconciliation that he gives. It's the reception into God's family that he gives. All of those are wonderful blessings, but they're are conditions to those blessings. And he says in Luke 13, verse 3, that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The world sees only two responses to sinners: either love them and accept their lifestyle, or disagree with them and therefore judge them and hate them. But that wasn't Jesus' response. He loved sinners while maintaining holy and high expectations. He never condoned sin. He never hated anyone, unfairly judged anyone. And the church must imitate that truth. And we cannot offer cheap grace. You see, God's judgment have remained unchanged since the New Testament was completed. The church must meet people where they are and help them go where God wants them to go. Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. Paul preached the gospel to adulterers and thieves and drunkards and homosexuals and fornicators and covetous and idol worships, and yet they changed and God saved them. You remember that great passage there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. In verse 9, he says, well, let's just read verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. All of those things, whether you were a thief, whether you were greedy, whether you were drunkard, whether you were a violent, whether you were a swindler, Paul says, such were some of you, but God cleansed you. And the church is the place where Jesus meets his friend. And Jesus is our friend. And he welcomes you to his church. And we need to be just as welcoming. If people really realized the things that I've done, they would never let me in the church. And I think the Bible anticipated that kind of concern. If you remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23, the first church members were guilty of the blood of Jesus himself, and yet they were offered forgiveness, and they were forgiven. Think about the church at Corinth. Now, we have places like Las Vegas and San Francisco. But in the Roman Empire, there was a place called Corinth. And the people there were widely known for immorality and ungodliness. And yet there Christ spread his message of saving grace. And he basically, that message was, take heart, you are not worse that you cannot be saved. You are not worse than those, friend, who became Christians in the New Testament. It is easy for Jesus to save a great sinner as a small sinner. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white. No one was ever saved because his sins were few. No one was ever rejected because his sins were many. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, Paul says in Romans 5, verse 20. Jesus walked among all classes of people, publicans and sinners. He had great success in changing them in the first century, and he has great success in changing people today, no matter what you've done, and bring them into an environment called his church to give you comfort that you have a place to belong. The church is that place to help facilitate your journey. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22 says this, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows to a holy temple to the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. There is no better place, folks, than this place called church. And I pray that you are part of it. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here was your clue. I am the event that was celebrated during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What event am I? Deliverance from Egypt, folks. Exodus 34, verse 18. The Feast of Unleavened Bread shalt thou keep 7 days. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. I am the event that was celebrated during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What event am I? Deliverance from Egypt. And name that Bible character segment. Folks, you too can become a part of the greatest movement ever, the follower of Jesus Christ. Because you see, in him you can find peace, joy, and happiness, and be blessed beyond measure, more than you ever deserve. My goal here has been very simple, and that is to encourage you, friend, along the way, to help you find your passion and life in Jesus Christ. Hey, if you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, I pray that you will stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. And if you can't, well, stop by our website, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com, normanchurch.com. Well, friend, I wanted to say this. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. May God bless you!
The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God. The Lord God reigns.
Hey!
Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He's God indeed. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is God supreme. Great is the Lord Almighty. He is Lord. He's God indeed. Great is the Lord. Mighty God, the Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is a mighty God.